I'm in search of the mudlarks. Have you seen any?
The what? What's a mudlark?
I'm in search of the mudlarks. Have you seen any mudlarks today?
Any what? Mudlark?
The what?
I don't know what a mudlark looks like.
I'm in search of the mudlarks. Have you seen any?
No,
do you know
sorry.
What? Do you know what mudlarks are?
No.
I'm in search of the mudlarks. Have you seen any mudlarks today?
I haven't. No.
Do you know what mudlarks are?
I haven't got a clue. I guess maybe people walking in the mud.
Oh, you're the closest so far. Very good. Thank you.
I'm in search of the mudlarks, a secret society of people that plough the banks of the River Thames, uncovering items that have been buried for hundreds of years. In the 18th century, being a mudlarker was considered one of the worst jobs and consisted of children and widows scavenging the banks of the Thames for items to sell. Nowadays, a group of 58 people take it upon themselves to go treasure hunting and uncover some of London's most hidden secrets. The Society of Mudlarks was formed in 1980 when mudlarking was legalised, and I'm here in Gravesend where my search for the mudlarks begins. The Port of London Authority is the organisation responsible for controlling the mudlarks' activity on the banks of the River Thames, and I'm here meeting Catherine Harris, the environmental advisor. So Catherine, what is the Port of London Authority's role when it comes to mudlarking?
Well, it's one of the Port of London Authority's bylaws that anyone who wishes to go down onto the Thames foreshore and to dig requires a permit from the PLA.
And so what types of permit do you have to offer?
We have two different types of permit. One is the standard permit. It's valid for 3 years. We also have a mudlark permit, which is a slightly more advanced version, if you like. And in order to get a mudlark permit, you actually have to be a member of the Mudlark Society, and you more or less have to be invited to join that.
What's the relationship like between the PLA and the mudlarks? Is there any conflict between you at all?
No, not at all. We have a very good relationship. I mean, we're really more on the administrative side, so kind of, you know, the licensing and the enforcement. I would say that someone like the Museum of London have a closer relationship with kind of investigating the fines and those kinds of issues, really.
Well, following Catherine's advice, I've come to the Museum of London, where every item found on the banks of the River Thames is brought to be analysed. I'm here to meet Kate Sutton, the fines liaison officer.
This one is a nice bit of iron. The preservation on it, again, is very good. It's a padlock from a chest, a wooden box, something like that. It is an iron chisel that is 400 years old, so it comes from the 17th century, and we've got the maker's initials on the blade. And this little object is a pewter brooch, very fine, with a copper alloy, a brass pin. And it's so very fine, I imagine it would be worn on the veil of a headdress, something like that. It's 600 years old. It comes from...
Kate, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of items around us. How much are the mudlarks responsible for finding these items?
Almost 100%. It's the hard work and diligence down there that are uncovering these objects. Over the last 30 years, thousands of objects have been shown to us at the Museum of London. And without their contribution, we wouldn't have a fraction of our knowledge.
How do these items end up in the Thames, ready for a mudlarker to come and dig them up again?
Well, the Thames is the biggest rubbish bin ever. Everything has ended up in the Thames, as that's where people threw the majority of the rubbish, so anything that was broken. But there are other ways that things end up in the Thames, through people losing stuff. You know, you travel across the river in the little rickety boats, using the often very uneven steppings to get down, so you drop stuff as you go down, you lose things. And then, of course, there's the stuff that's deliberately thrown in for ritual, whatever reason.
Kate, you must meet mudlarks on a day-to-day basis. However, my search for the mudlarks still goes on. I haven't even seen one yet. Could you possibly help me out?
Well, yeah, I'm sure I can help with that. I have contact with all of the mudlarks who bring me their stuff for recording, and I also go to all the metal detecting club meetings, so I know plenty that I'm sure at least one of them would be happy to speak to you.
So, some good news. I've just left the Museum of London speaking to Kate, and she's given me the name and number of a mudlarker, but he's no ordinary mudlarker, because apparently he's quite high up in the Society of Mudlarks. So, next step is to give this guy a call.
Hello?
Hello, is that Steve?
Yep, speaking.
Hello, Steve. Kate Sutton gave me your number.
After a short phone call, a check on the tides, and a rather detailed kit list, I was about to meet my first mudlarker. We were meeting not on the Millennium Bridge, but underneath it.
Hi, Dan. I'm Steve. I'm a mudlarker.
Good morning. At last, I finally get to meet a mudlarker. What have you got me down here for today?
Right, we've dragged you down today. We're going to show you the ins and outs of mudlarking. We're going to go from the Millennium Bridge all the way down to the tower, and we're just going to walk the foreshore and we're going to show you what goes on down there.
And so why are we down here so early in the morning?
Well, what we've actually got to do today is we've got to catch the tides. We've got to work with the tides. So it's 8 o'clock. The low tide today is going to be around 10 o'clock and we're going to walk from one end to the other and hopefully find something for you.
Let's have a look. Let's go now, shall we?
Let's go. Right, so we shall kneel down here.
If I say to you, look there.
Yeah.
What can you see?
Looks almost like a very thin piece, a strand almost, a golden coloured strand.
Right, this is a handmade medieval pin.
Oh, wow.
So
that's tiny. How did you spot that? Blimey.
There you go, there's another one.
And these are all just on the surface, aren't they? Just sitting on the mud, yeah.
Yeah, there's another one.
So that's three pins so far in a space of what? That must be a square.
There you go.
Oh my word. That's about... Eagle, you just found about 10.
Yeah. That's probably why they call me Eagle. Good eyesight. Yeah.
Steve, your mudlarking partner's Eagle. Why is it that you always work in pairs?
Well, the reason why that is it's extremely dangerous down here. If you don't know what you're doing yet, it can be really dangerous. So the reason why we're always in twos are basically just in case one of us falls over, slips or whatever, which we'll probably do today. And also, if we're digging a hole, one looks after each other. So we'll have one going down to a depth of 1.5 metres, whilst the other one will detect on top of the ball. Now, he keeps an eye out for you, as in, if the sides are going to cave in or whatever. And also, if you get trapped in 1.5 metres, he pulls you out.
What's your role in the Mudlarks, and why are they so secretive?
I'm actually the secretary of the Mudlarks, and the reason why you can never find any of us is because you'll always find us on the north side. We're the only ones that are allowed to actually work the north side. Everything we find down here tells a story. Now, if somebody off the street actually comes down here and finds something and takes it away then without having it recorded, we actually lose part of that story. So that's what the Mudlarks do on the north side. We're actually telling a story of what's going on the Thames. Oh, here we go. Right. Eagle's just had something, right? Actually sitting on top.
Yeah, right.
So we've had a stem of a wine glass. So what we're putting on this? About 1750?
Yeah, 1750, yeah.
Aha!
Oh,
well,
my
done.
Word. Look at that.
Now, what Eagle's just had up now, he's just had a folding knife. A nice little small folding knife.
Look at that. So, Steve, is there any etiquette when you're mudlarking with other mudlarkers?
Yeah, there is. Because some of these guys have got seniority of, 30 years. So... we're all good friends, and that's what's really good about the Mudlarks, is everybody knows each other, and it's a small community down here. It's quite strange, that we are, of course, we're in the centre of town, and in the week, you'll have thousands of people going to work down here, all suited and booted, and they look over onto the foreshore, and all they can see is, as we are today, covered in mud, and they probably think, oh, look at those tramps down there. But of course, if people actually knew what we actually did down here, when you go into the Museum of London and see some of our finds, the British Museum have got our finds, it is a small-knit community of guys and women that are just... I mean, we actually change history. Now, we've actually gone under Southwark Bridge, which is why it sounds like we're in a cave. And we come out to where the barges are on the other side. And you can see there's a mudlark up there, which is Alan. We call him Mental Al. But we'll see what Al's had up. Be careful in here, because it's extremely slippery.
Why does Al work on his own?
Because no one else would work with him. Right, this is Alan Place.
Hello, Al.
How do you?
Nice to meet you.
And he is another mudlark as well. He's actually using a detector, whereas we brought you down here today to go by eye. Al's actually using a detector, and that's what he does. Yeah, he's a detectorist down here. You've seen some guys up there that are digging today. That's what you had out, Al?
No, just a few odd coins, nothing special. Just modern stuff, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about luck. It could be you could be standing on the hold. Yeah, whereas us three that have been doing it for years and years, it's just luck. That's all it is, it's luck.
Hundreds of thousands of people cross the River Thames on a daily basis, but little do they know of the secrets it holds. Without the Mudlarks, a large part of London's history would be lost forever. It's their digs that have changed history and continue to write it. And after spending 4 hours with Steve and Eagle, we've found a bucket load of items which will all go down to the Museum of London. We also met 5 other Mudlarks who were digging, sieving or searching by eye like we were. It's been a journey from standing on a pier in Gravesend to being knee-deep in mud in central London. I found out a lot about the secret world of the Mudlarks. The only thing left to do... just go get my permit.
Steve, just have a look at this. What do you think that is?
That's a boat nail. Now, boat nails come in...